Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Afternoon, at the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you have a nice little Thursday. Sports Bros here.
Happy Rob Masters to you.
Yeah, happy Masters to you. I'm Rob.
Sada. Up.
Big Six right over there.
I did find the weapon on Facebook, by the way.
Ryan Buckley is here. He's back from his norovirus or whatever the hell he had.
Good straight.
Yesterday.
About a dozen pounds lighter.
So, I don't think you should say his name.
Oh, yeah. Well, his name's Dick, just in case you were wondering. we won't leave his...
But I would like to know what did you find out about his...
He is a super political activist.
Okay.
Very much anti-Trump.
Okay.
He is a veteran. He claims he's a pacifist, which... It's a little weird.
Yeah, okay, Dick.
Since he was wearing a shirt that said, I am the weapon, and he slapped the S out of that lady. And I will say that in his post, he's catching a lot of flack for slapping that lady, and he owns every bit of it.
He does.
He says that he should have been arrested, says that it's indefensible. He very much is like, this is not who I am. And he also plays the bass drum. He's from New Orleans, and he's a veteran and plays the bass drum.
Okay.
So that's what we know about Dick.
Well, look,
In all the posts, he was very sorry.
Can you?
And so the lady was a Trump lady that was anti-protesting the Trump protest.
Okay. Can you slap someone by mistake, though? Like, is that?
No.
Especially a woman? Like, you don't. That's not a mistake.
That
I don't
is
know.
Not a mistake.
Some things are a mistake.
Well, I mean.
Characterizing that as this is not who I like you've never done that before. I mean, I don't know.
Well, look,
I don't know if I buy that.
I would say this: you got to be careful judging someone based on their worst moment.
I get that.
At the same time,
I get that,
dude. You decided to get up out of your seat, waddle over, climb some steps, and slap someone because she was yelling and disrupting your protest.
Now, if it were a man,
I don't know.
We have?
It wouldn't be as bad. You know, I think we all admit every now and then some dude mouthing off deserves to get smacked in the face. But you shouldn't hit anybody for just words that they're saying. And you sure as hell shouldn't hit a lady. And I still can't figure out what she was screaming.
She was not happy.
Something about you're going to die or we're going to die or whatever. She was very angry.
Okay. So. Well. Wild scene up
it
there.
It was a wild scene.
In your neck of the woods.
Hey, man, stuff happens at Esther Shore Park. You go down to the farmer's market, you don't know what you're going to find. And just be careful. You know, Dick's out there being the weapon. You got to, you know, you see someone with that shirt, be prepared. That big ham hock coming your way.
All right, coming up this hour, Dante Moore, QB1 at Oregon? Not so fast. Also, the state of the SEC we shall discuss. In the club tonight, there is a new wiener phenomenon.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Hey, I had a new wiener the other day, and it was delightful. I had a Chinese wiener.
Could you clip that, please?
You ever had a Chinese wiener?
Uh-uh.
Me neither.
Like the kind of Chinese sausage that's in fried rice? Like that kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, it was so, it was so good.
Okay.
I don't know.
I hope.
To be fair, I had two of them.
I hope you're talking about food.
Yes. As far as you know, it was delightful. I didn't even know what I was missing.
I'm not even, I mean, there are so many jokes. I'm not going to say one of
them. I'm not making a joke. I'm telling you.
Well, I was about to.
You don't. Two dudes swallowing wieners.
You don't know what you were missing.
The club, 6-7. Right now, the hot 5-5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number five.
Black Dome.
Really?
What?
Is that what this show is about?
Well, you
that
started
is precisely
it.
What this show is
Clean
about.
Clean it up!
I did. I filtered my jokes. I had great jokes for that. I could have made the audience laugh right there, and I chose not to because I didn't think it was appropriate.
I wasn't making a joke. I was just talking about delicious wieners.
Four hits and the home run for Stephen Kwan.
The Kwaner.
The Kwaner. Guardians take care of the White Sox today, 6-1. Angels, two home runs from Mike Trout. He lives.
Well, he had one the other night I saw, so at least he has three now.
They beat the Rays 11-1, those guys, the Angels. The Angels are decent.
8-4, second place behind the
Rays. Royals over the Twins, 3-2. Rockies 7-2 over the Brewers, and the Red Sox nipped the Blue Jays in 10-4-3. Those are your baseball scores. You probably already knew that, though. But I have to tell you that those were your baseball scores?
If you had to tell me that those weren't hockey scores, then chances are that didn't mean anything.
Do you think there was anyone out there who's like, I wonder if that's baseball? Mike Trout? Who?
Who is this Mike Trout character?
Austin star Jani Broom. Auburn star Jani Broom declares for the NBA draft. Now, most mocks, he was the best player in college basketball, but most mocks have him, well, besides Cooper Flagg. Most mocks have him going late first round.
Yeah, this goes to show you that success on the in the college game, different. Well, he's an older guy, and I think people think he's maybe a bit more of a tweener and lacks some of the high-end athleticism.
You know who you are? A tweener.
I probably was a tweener. Yeah.
No, you are a tweener.
Oh, I am a tweener now?
Yeah.
No, I think I'm just too small. Back in the day, I was a bit of a tweener. Charles Barkley, though, claimed he was the greatest player in all of history. You see that?
Yeah, he said Broom was the greatest
player.
Yeah. Dana Altman and the Ducks land Elon guard T.K. Simpkins via the portal. He averaged 16 a game, 6'4 guard. He shot 37% from downtown. Fun fact, T.K. has a twin named T.J. Simpkins, who also played at Elon and is also in the portal, but apparently the Ducks don't want him.
Oh, surprised. The one didn't do a little two-for-one. You know, if you're good enough, you can probably get him to take your brother.
Oregon's other transfer get this year is Texas forward Devin Pryor.
You think the one brother didn't like the other one? Was like, don't take this. Don't take this. He's like trying to get away. And then he's like, hey, sorry, man, I tried.
He's like the player brothers.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I tried to put in a good word for
Wayne
you.
Wayne should have been arrested years ago.
Tried to put a good word with you for you with the brush. He said no dice.
As for Oregon State, they've lost seven players to the portal, including their entire starting five.
It's not good. And then the one French kid that never played but looked really good in that college basketball crown tournament.
Maxime Loguet.
It's not good to be the tinkler right now.
Number two.
That's a tough beat.
Ryan Bliss won the second base job for the Mariners. He is now out 4 to 5 months. He has a torn bicep. Now, he was batting just 200, so I don't know whether you...
Yeah.
Like, that might be good for the Mariners, but not... I mean...
Well, to be fair...
I don't know what to make of it.
200 in that lineup, I'll bet you that that's... There's probably three or four other people in that lineup that are hitting worse than him.
He's the second starter to go down already. Outfielder Victor Robles is out 3 months and possibly the season due to a shoulder injury.
And I think he actually had the highest average on the team when he busted his shoulder.
What's Julio hitting? 180?
Yeah, he's got some power, though. He's had decent numbers outside of the average.
Why can no one hit when they go to the Mariners?
I don't know. It's problematic.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah. It's not for the best. Julio, by the way, yeah, 184. He does have...
184?
184. He's got three home runs, knocked in seven. Does that do anything for you?
No, yeah. It doesn't.
Rosarena's hitting 191.
Yeah, but he had a granny yesterday.
184.
Is anybody hitting over 300? Oh, Polanco.
Polanco is.
How long before Polanco's under 250?
Give it to me. I'm not kidding. You say Ryan Bliss was hitting 200.
Yeah.
Dude, there's like six guys that are hitting
under,
worse than him.
Yeah.
Under 200.
That's what I said. I was like, I don't know what to make of it. I think that's pretty good for them.
I actually, you are correct. That is pretty good.
Justin Rose is your leader after round one of the Masters. It is in the books. He was flirting with the Masters record, 9 under par. He shot 7 under par with a bogey on 18, but he made 8 birdies. He is 7 under. Corey Connors, Scotty Scheffler, and Ludwig Oberg are all 4 under, 3 back. Then you have Tyrrell Hatton, Bryson DeChambeau, a couple of LIV bros sitting there at 3 under. Aaron Rye, Harris English, Jason Day, and Akshay Bhatia are 2 under.
Now, Rory was going into 15 at 4 under.
Yeah.
And then the damn wheels fell off.
He made 2 doubles.
Yeah.
He finishes even par. He's still T27. Other notables, Xander Schauffele, Hideki Matsuyama, 1 over. Tommy Fleetwood, 1 over. Will Zalatoris, 2 over. Dustin Johnson, 2 over. Brooks Koepka, 2 over.
Let's not forget Nick Dunlap.
Finau, 3 over. Nick Dunlap shot a 90. He's last. Freddie Couples, 1 under.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
Old ass. I just can't believe Nick Dunlap. The next guy is +7 and Dunlap was at +18.
Yeah, he's not hitting it very well. Sounds like. And he didn't 3-putt. He shot a 90 without a 3-putt.
Do you think he goes back and says, hey, it was a rough round, but you know what? I putted.
His wife's like,
I putted well.
Putted well, honey.
And my dark horse to lead after one round, Sepp Straka, also was 6 over. So.
Oh, he shot. He was that bad?
He was terrible.
He was that bad.
Oh, man, I didn't see that. Yeah. Minwoo, 1 under. Patrick Reed, 1 under. Brian Harman, 1 under. Shane Lowry, 1 under. Yeah. Victor Hovland, 1 under.
Good little leaderboard.
It's a great leaderboard. There's a lot of guys, you know, they say at the Masters, you need to be in the top 10 after day one because it's a really hard course to come back on.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. There's a lot. So you would have to be 2 under or better for that to apply. But there's a lot of guys at 1 under and even par. Colin Morikawa's even par that could rise up here.
Well, as you said, maybe Rose is the outlier here because if you eliminate him, then that changes a little bit. Maybe he comes back to the pack.
Maybe. Maybe he wins with a 20 under while Scotty Scheffler loses by 10 shots.
Well, and I saw it too. I was looking at Scheffler's round. He was saying afterwards, I think he hit only 10 or 11 greens. He goes, dude, there's room for me to play way better. So he started off real well with 3 birdies in the first 9 holes and then was just kind of steady Eddie down the stretch.
He's so tough here because he just doesn't make big mistakes.
Nope.
Rory made the big mistakes, which is what's haunted him here. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
You thought him sitting there at 4 under going into 15, he was...
Well, they were talking about him finishing at 6.
Yep. Yep.
And he finishes even par. He's got to be feeling terrible.
Well, and then you wonder where his mentals are at going into day 2.
Oh, and John Rahm?
Yeah.
3 over.
That was a rough day for him.
Wyndham Clark, 4 over.
Yeah.
Do I need to go further down? Scott, 5 over.
Especially since one of us bet on John Rahm.
Lucas Glover, 6 over. Oh, my God. There's your Hot 5-5, Victorico's Mexican Food, 19 locations across Oregon and Washington. Now in Lacamas Square in Vancouver. Find a location near you at victoricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victorico's. Hey, not so fast on Dante Moore being the quarterback at Oregon, huh? Huh? What do you think about that? What do you think about that?
How about that?
How about that? You like that? We're going to go all high tea college football next.
I put no stake in spring practices.
On the Fan.
Hey, I had a new wiener the other day, and it was delightful. I had a Chinese wiener.
We were just talking about a guy at the Red Sox game who caught a baseball in his pita bread.
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, he was eating a gyro, it looks like.
Yeah.
And now he's got tzatziki sauce all over him because it blew up on him. He's still chewing on the pita, but he lifts it up. He literally caught it in the pita pocket like he was using it as a glove. And I was merely asking the question, is catching a foul ball worth having a pita explode on you at a baseball
and
game?
Probably an $18 no. pita at that.
Yeah.
But I think he was hamstrung because, first of all, it was not... Like it wasn't a rocket into the stands.
No,
but it came kind of quick. Don't clip that, please. And
do you think he just reacted with the pita?
Yes, I think that he's got it in his lap. He's sort of side eating.
Yeah,
for more room because there's no one in the seat next to him.
Did he Ricky Henderson basket catch that in the pita?
I don't even think he saw it coming. His head's down. He was messing with his pita, and it went into his pita.
So you're saying that he had no idea what had happened until that Look pita his, exploded on him.
Watch his head. You can see him easily because he's got a hoodie on.
Yeah.
He does not see that ball coming. It hits him right in the pita.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, now that I think about it, you're right.
He doesn't see it.
I think he is managing a pita side saddle, yes. And it lands in the middle of his pita.
He is surprised when a baseball hits his pita. And then he holds it up.
He holds it up. It is smack dab in the middle of it. I'll tell you what. I think I'd be a little pissed.
He looks like Luca.
He does look a little bit. And clearly he's drunk. He's like, and everyone around him loves it. But you look at that. He's wearing a Red Sox jersey. That jersey is ruined now. He's got to sit there the rest of the game with that covered.
Yeah, because I just don't think you're going after a baseball with your pita bread. You know, that
wasn't although it kind of makes sense. I mean, it is.
It's like a little catcher's mitt.
It's a little catcher's mitt. little saucy. Question is, do you then eat the rest of the pita?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, right. I mean, that pita is not cheap.
No. And it's delicious.
Yeah. And the other one is, will they replace? Because clearly when you look at that pita, it's kind of empty now. The contents have exploded. Do you think did they replace that pita for you?
No.
Can you go up to the Red Sox and be like, hey, what? I was minding my own business. I didn't mean for this to happen. And the pita explodes on me. You don't get a free pita off of that?
I don't think so. Well, I was grabbed by a headline today.
Mm.
Now, this may just be headline writer.
I'm sure it's a headline writer, but they got you again.
They got me. I clicked on it, and I'm going to read it to you.
What do we got?
Austin Novosad turning heads in quarterback competition for Oregon football. Why are you laughing?
That is the definition of clickbait.
How do you know?
You're not down there. That is the definition of clickbait.
Well, how do you know that? You're not down there. You're not watching it.
He's turning heads.
What?
Whose head is he turning?
All of their heads.
People's.
People's heads.
We won the nutty!
Coming into spring camp and eventually this fall for the 2025 college football season, it has been fairly or unfairly assumed that Dante Moore will be the starting quarterback for the Ducks. This is from Yahoo Sports, by the way.
Yeah.
The writer here is Don Smalley of DucksWire. But redshirt sophomore Austin Novosad didn't come to Oregon to just hold a clipboard and watch from the sideline.
No one did. Thanks, Tips.
Novosad wants to play, and he's doing everything he can to make sure he does just that.
You're telling me that a four-star quarterback recruit wants to play? Holy Santa Claus S.
His efforts and development on and off the field haven't gone unnoticed by head coach Dan Lanning. He says, quote, I think the guy's just a winner.
Yeah.
I mean, he has become really comfortable in our system. He understands it, you know, and I think that Coach Stein and the offensive staff do a good job of continuing to push that, but he's really just level-headed, end quote.
That's just, clearly he's ready for a Heisman Trophy.
Lanning continues, I think he's going to see some great quarterbacks in front with Dylan and Bo.
I think he's got to see some.
Oh, yeah,
he's already seen
I think
them.
He has gotten to see some great quarterbacks in front of him with Dylan and Bo. And that experience of seeing how those guys operate day in and day out and what he can be, he's a guy that can make every throw. He's a good decision maker and really a leader of our team. 6'3", 205 from Dripping Springs, Texas.
Yeah.
Dripping Springs.
Dripping Springs.
Yeah.
He's self-aware. He knows how much he's grown and developed, and he is gunning for Dante Moore.
It goes drip, drip, drip.
He said, I would say just my leadership and execution of like a faster paced offense coming here. We have a lot of checks, a lot of different schemes and play calls. And then now being able to kind of NFL style, being able to take a play call from Coach Stein and then relay it to the whole huddle and execute it at a high level has kind of been my biggest area of growth. So basically playing football.
And then don't forget, Gary Bryant Jr. said, I love Austin. I've been getting a lot of reps with him. And he's a deep ball thrower. And every deep ball is right there on the money.
Boom. See, dude, it just keeps getting better.
Can we now bring up the one where Tez Johnson said that Dante Moore is going to win a Heisman Trophy, or Ferguson said that it was the best arm he's ever seen? I mean, this stuff is just so... You got clickbaited again. That's what these...
Well, I don't think this says...
That's just what those...
It's not. It doesn't say he's going to win the job. No. It just says maybe he's looking pretty good, which is fair.
I'll just tell you, every spring practice... I don't care what program you look at. Every spring practice, the backup quarterback right now looks great. Looks great. Love them both.
I thought for sure he'd transfer.
Fantastic. Yeah, he's going
to
stick
but
around.
But maybe they probably talk. See, this is probably fed to the Yahoo guys.
Yeah.
Or dude. Whoever wrote this, Dan, whatever. Because the coaches want to create the competition.
Yes.
Because they probably kept him around by telling him, hey, dude.
It's a competition.
You can win this job.
Yes. Well, and this is one of the problems that every coach is having now across the country is, and another reason why they don't really want to do spring games, I think you're going to see more and more coaches slow play this decision. Because if you come out and you've been there for 3 years, and you come out and you get told you're not the guy, right after spring practice, dude, thanks for coming, man. I'm going to go find some place that I can go play. And that's perfectly fair for a guy to do. So I do think more and more coaches are going to slow play this sort of thing, or even feed into the narrative. It's too close to call. And this is a really open competition. And look, he may end up being the guy, but all signs and anyone that I've ever talked to down there says that Dante Moore is the guy. So, you know, does that mean that's locked in stone and nothing can change? No, but I would be very surprised if it's anyone but him.
Well, at worst, if you know, Moore gets hurt or something,
yes.
It's nice to know you have a good backup.
Well, and that's the problem. That the other thing you have is that so every kid, as soon as he gets beat out, his first thing is I'm going to bolt. But very rarely do you see a team go through an entire season without an injury or without some sort of controversy. I mean, look at last year. You went into this with Quinn Ewers supposedly being the Heisman Trophy favorite, and Quinn Ewers got benched. Now, not for long, but Quinn Ewers got benched. And, you know, you look around the country, and very few times do you see a guy that makes it an entire season. It's just usually not the way it works. So you would love for these guys to stick around and keep fighting, but, you know, you have a limited amount of time. So when you do lose the job, and it's not like, you know, you've only been there for 1 year. If you've been there multiple years and you get passed over again, I totally see why that kid should go looking somewhere else.
All right. Well, keep an eye on that for you with our sources.
He's looking really
looking pretty good.
Looking pretty,
pretty,
pretty good.
All right. The state of the SEC. Next, here's Buck. Well, I was looking at actually all the base.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time, it's subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Baseball rankings, like who's good and whatever.
Yeah.
And I noticed
the baseball rankings are confusing because there's like 9 different ones.
Well, I noticed that in one of them or whatever one that was on ESPN, they said that, or 8 of the top 12 were SEC teams.
Okay.
In baseball. And I got to thinking, I'm like, well, it was an all time great basketball league,
yes,
in the SEC this year. But what about football? Like when you're talking about the state of the SEC,
mm-hmm,
I feel like we think maybe the SEC in football has kind of leveled out with at least some teams, with at least the Big Ten and then some other random teams, depending on who they are from around the country.
Sure.
And yet basketball and baseball are pumping. You know?
I was trying to, like, why do we necessarily think that about football? It's like,
well, I think, well, it's a good question. It's what we've talked about before, and it is that they aren't exactly rich schools.
Yeah.
With donors with deep pockets that can fund NIL. Not that they can't get good NIL.
Yeah.
But they don't, like, we just talked about this the other day, that the
Duke basketball?
Yeah, like Duke basketball or or SMU is uniquely poised in NIL. It's just a new era.
Yeah.
And it seems like you, I think at one point you said that Georgia was really worried about their stance or their standing in the whole NIL world because...
Yeah, it's funny. This year alone, you heard Alabama and Georgia both kind of throw shade at other programs. I mean, that was the Kirby Smart with Oregon. And those aren't just subtle things. Those are coaches saying, dude, we need you to step up. It used to be in the SEC world, you know, you come up with a couple $100,000 under the table and, you know, you got some kids. But now it's not under the table stuff. You got to come up with 10, 15, 20 million bucks.
Exactly.
And
I think that's why we say that about the SEC in football. The SEC in basketball is interesting because, as we spoke about a couple weeks ago when the NCAA tournament was going on, a lot of the basketball schools have benefited because they can now, with NIL, they can dip into their passionate fan bases' pockets, and it's lesser money, right, in basketball than football. They don't need as much.
No.
And their fan bases are rabid. They can now actually dip into a bigger pool of people to piece together NIL money for basketball players.
Yeah.
That helps SEC basketball, but on the higher end of, you know, having to pay $10 million for a quarterback or whatever, the SEC in football, I mean, it's kind of leveled off.
I'll be interested to see because, you know, Texas is supposed to just be loaded next year. I don't know if Georgia's going anywhere. Tennessee was on the doorstep of doing something really big this year. Alabama was the last team in. I don't think LSU is going anywhere. Florida could rise up again. We know Florida is always a step away, and they seem to have figured some stuff out last year by not firing their coach, as everyone thought they were going to be a dog mess. It's an interesting thing. I'm just not ready to write off the SEC after 1 year.
Well, I mean, nobody's writing them off.
But I'm with you in that.
The other two sports, they have been dominant.
Yes,
they are dominating,
and they have been dominant for so many years in football. I do think that, yes, I do think NIL and the profit sharing might level the playing field a little bit from the SEC. I just don't think...
It has to.
Because
they were originally the only ones really doing it. Besides a couple of blue bloods like Ohio State or Michigan or whatever, they were the only ones paying people. They were doing it better than everyone else.
And when Oregon... I'm not speaking out of school here. When Oregon went and got Dan Lanning in, and it was really... Cristobal, who it was the Alabama thing. When Cristobal got there at Oregon,
we just rolled, brother.
I've heard from multiple people that there was a sense of, oh my God, like there's a much better way to do this. Yes, we have resources, but we need to implement the way they do things. And he opened their eyes to what you can do in recruiting, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod. And now that it's all above board, when they went and got Lanning, and then Lanning went and got his chief of staff, that guy out of Texas A&M. They have taken an SEC approach to this. USC is trying to get on board with this. We know Ohio State's on board with this. Notre Dame is on the come up. Like you mentioned, SMU, even schools like BYU, for God's sakes, we're buying basketball and football players. We just got a big transfer out of Baylor at BYU basketball. You can pay people now. And so there are schools that had money, but maybe not the stomach or the knowledge to really go down deep into the troughs of the SEC. And so that should balance it out a little bit. But at the same time, I find it hard to believe that the LSUs and the Bamas of the world are not going to still be around every single year. I just think that the sheer dominance of it is is probably over. Think about, we talked about this with like UConn women's basketball or Tennessee. They were so far ahead of the curve, and then there was a catch-up. Not to say that next year you can't see Bama or LSU win. Those teams are still going to win and obviously still have multiple teams in the playoff. Under the new system, they're going to get 4 to 5 in every single year, which means you're going to have a better than average chance. I just don't think you probably will see a run where any conference is winning 5 out of 6 titles. You know, I just think those days are probably over. There'll be a little more balance.
Well, I hope so. Because they just won in basketball.
Yeah.
They had the best basketball league ever.
Yeah.
And if you've looked at the baseball standings, they're 8 of the top 12, and I think 3 of the top 4. Arkansas is number 1 in baseball.
Well, and there's still an element of...
Until they meet the Beavs.
There's still an element of it means more, right? Because you can have your NIL, you can have your boosters and all that, but it really comes down to, you know, yes, you have to have the pockets. You have to have the people that have the money to donate, but you also have to the people that are willing to do it. You can have a big, Washington has a better base than most schools on the West Coast. You ever seen the UW graduates and like what they put out there in Fortune 500 companies around there? But what they don't have is they don't have Phil Knight, right? Stanford probably has more money than any school on the West Coast, but none of them care about football. And that's the one thing I'll always say about the SEC. Well, I will always believe that they will be right at the top. I don't think that there is a collective group of fans and alumni that care more than in the SEC. It's a religion down there. So they may have to fight a little harder. They may have to scrap together more money from different resources. I just find it really hard to believe that those programs are going to allow themselves to fall behind the eight ball, because the only thing that would cause them to fall is not being able to come up with the funds that some of those other schools are raising.
Yeah, I just Googled UW's richest sports donors.
Yeah.
Neil and Janet Dempsey.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of them?
I have not.
I guess he went there. And then Ron and Wanda Crockett.
Hmm. No idea. I have a buddy of mine that's very much into UW. He went there, his wife went there, kid went there, and he's a mild, let's say he's a contributor to their athletic department. And he talks about this all the time, that they really struggle to get buy-in from a lot of the big fish. And going back to the Duke thing, I would make the argument that in today's modern world, it's not about having big donor bases. It's just about having a handful of people that care. And when you have that, whether that's SMU football, Duke basketball, Oregon, makes all the difference in the world.
This says, and this is from last year, August of last year, but it says Washington ranks inside the top 25 in donations and contributions.
Yeah. It's different between being in the top 25 and being in the top 8. Washington's not outbidden people. They're just not. They're a good recruiter. They're not elite.
Yeah, Oregon's number one.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Number one?
Yeah.
Doesn't shock me.
This is from top 50 programs by donations and contributions 2005 to 2022.
Yeah.
Oregon is at $969 million.
Yeah.
Number one.
Well, and some of that too is probably for facilities and, you know, and they redid, you know, how much did it cost to redo Hayward Field, or how much did it cost to redo what's the new athletic building? What's it called? Is it the Jacquard Center?
The Jaquess Center?
Jaquess Center. Oh, and by the way, have you seen the new indoor football facility, the practice facility?
The one that they're building out right now?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's in the shape of the O. It's just, it's just stupid how nice it is. So I'm assuming all of that stuff takes into account when they're getting donations for that stuff. And that's one thing that Oregon really doesn't have to do. When they want to fund a massive project, they don't have to go and spend 10 years raising funds for it. When Oregon State wanted to redo Reser, when UW wanted to rebuild their stadium, dude, that is a massive commitment. And they have to fundraise for years and years and years. Oregon just kind of gets to do it. You know, and I think programs like that, that's why I'm very bullish on Oregon's future. They just, you know, that they have the ability to, it's not a struggle there. We saw Jimbo Fisher won a national title at Florida State and left. And remember why he left? He said, it's just too hard to get stuff done at Florida State. Yeah, there's money. And we've got a great tradition. Florida State has an unbelievable tradition, but it was hard. It was hard to get people to write checks. And when they do write checks, they demand instant results. There's no patience there. Who was the other one? Oklahoma State. Mullet Boy.
Gundy
used to, you know who Gundy got into it with all the time? Was T-Boone Pickens. Gundy and T-Boone used to butt heads all the time. Because T-Boone Pickens was like, hell yeah, I should have a say in it. I'm giving you hundreds of millions of dollars. And Gundy was like, dude, get out of my business. And he's like, no, I'm not going to get out of your business. I'm funding your whole program. So it's this world of boosters is it's hard. It's hard to navigate.
Dumb bitch.
So if you can find two or three that just give you money and stay out of your way.
Buckley?
Yeah.
Dude, I'd make the argument.
You don't think they say that between donors and coaches? Oh. I bet they do.
Well, I'm dead serious.
I told you, you dumb bitch.
In the world, because Duke obviously has their basketball guys, but they're not doing that for football. In this world of NIL and now revenue sharing and that it can run through the athletic department, I don't think that there's three schools that are in a better situation than Oregon. That is a top three situational going forward. Into this new world, I don't think there's three programs that are better set than Oregon.
This, like I said, this only goes through 2022, but the top five,
mm-hmm.
Georgia, Florida, Texas, Texas A&M, and Oregon.
Yeah.
Oregon beats them all.
Yeah.
This is total. I'm trying to get a read on, because $969 million sounds like just a S ton of money.
It's a ton of dough.
I think this is all resources. Let's see. I'm just trying to figure out exactly what that number is.
Yeah.
But Oregon is number one. And that's largely due to Phil Knight. I mean, Phil Knight's donated a lot of money, even just to this, like the, not just football.
Yep.
But yeah, it just says it's the 50 universities at the end of the 2022 season who have the most generous givers.
Yeah.
And Washington comes in at number 22, which doesn't seem bad until you see that Kansas is 19.
Yeah, and that's kind of what my point.
But a lot of that's basketball.
Yeah.
This is overall. Yeah. Iowa's 16.
Yeah. Which, and there's a huge difference between...
Ohio State's 11.
Huh.
Not that. I mean, they're not even in the top 10.
Yeah.
At least through 2022.
Yeah, they're doing just fine.
That's crazy.
They make more money than just about anyone. I think them in Texas actually make more for their programs than anyone else.
And remember, Oklahoma State was sixth.
And remember, you now have to split $22 million every year on top of your NIL. So it's just getting more expensive. So the schools that are flush with cash are the ones. This is about to become Major League Baseball, right? And we know that you can win playing small ball. Kansas City Royals won a World Series, right? You can win doing that. But more often than not, the teams that win in Major League Baseball are the teams that can spend.
No, they're gonna be one of those teams at the top, like the Yankees, the Red Sox, or the Mets. The question is, do you win championships like the Yankees or do you win championships like the Mets? But you're gonna have that kind of money and resources.
Yes. You will be the Dodgers, Mets, Giants, Yankees, Red Sox. You will be one of those. And UW, as good as UW is, UW is about to become
the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah. They're not the Royals, but they're about to be the Cardinals, someone like that.
All right, well, there's a high T football seggy.
Football!
Hell yeah. You know what's coming up next?
Hell yeah, that's good pizza. Yeah.
Ice skating.
They're fighting for clicks, we're fighting for wins.
I love ice skating.
I'm going to tone it down. We will wrap it up at least the hour next on The Fan.
It's time for a Ducks Report, the inside story on Oregon athletics, brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here.
We're not done with hot football talk. We know the spring game is coming up in 2 weeks. It's the 26th of the month. They've announced their guest coaches coming back to Eugene.
Yeah.
Mike Bellotti and Rich Brooks, joined by NFLers Christian Gonzalez and Bucky Irvin. So get excited.
Yeah. I saw the Bustin' with the Boys were there, too.
Taylor, they were having a whole time.
Yeah, it's a lot of happening right now at Oregon. I'm still waiting for my invite to go down, but it's not coming.
Why would they want you down there?
No.
You just crapped all over Austin Novosad, the next great, Peyton Manning.
This is why I'm not on the sidelines of the spring game. Damn it.
Mods PDX, the future of building is here.
Yeah. The home of dirt and spray.
I'm dirt.
What are the Blazers going to do?
Not fire their head coach?
Well, let's. How do you not wonder about this now that the team that just won the title a couple years ago does it with their career leader?
Having standards as an organization. I don't agree with it, but.
Well.
And hearing from an owner.
I would be on the bat phone to Malone.
Because it might not make sense, actually.
Dirt and Spray. Weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. on 1080 The Fan.
If you're considering new construction and want it done right and fast by a team that's focused on innovation, collaboration, and creativity, you want Mods PDX. At Mods PDX, we craft beautiful, sustainable, energy-efficient buildings of the highest quality. Our modular approach means your project can be completed faster than traditional construction, and our team of uniquely qualified architectural and trade professionals have the expertise and experience to make your vision a reality. Visit us today at modspdx.com.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Like a quarterback without an offensive line. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in just one thing. We represent good people who face DUI charges. There are plenty of criminal defense lawyers, but not many who are part of a specialized DUI defense team. No matter how skilled you are as an attorney, I've learned that you have to have the right group of talented people working with you to be able to give your absolute best to every client. If not, you're just like a quarterback without a solid offensive line, and we know how that story plays out. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You could think you found your dream home online. The kitchen island looks perfect for your inner chef. The backyard, a paradise for your green thumb. And that extra room, hello walk-in closet. But here's the twist. The lot next door just got rezoned for years of construction. And this sound, yeah, you're going to be hearing a lot of that. Don't let your dream home turn into a nightmare. Work with the expertise and ethical training of a realtor, here to guide and help protect you from the surprises you didn't see coming. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors, right by you.
Hey, weekend warriors. How's a little trail therapy sound right now? Hop in. Let's go for a ride in the all-new Nissan Armada Pro 4X. Tune out all those work emails and turn up that twin-turbo V6 engine. Instead of letting the kids play online, show them some epic inclines. Turn your 8-person family dinner into an exhilarating off-road adventure. The all-new Nissan Armada is here.
Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It would have killed a lesser man.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, we're done with sports. I'm tired of sports.
Speak for yourself. I'm ready to sports so hard still.
We're going to talk about Dong next.
No, I could do that too.
Well, yeah. I mean, you even brought it up earlier.
I did not. Hey, I had a new wiener the other day, and it was delightful. It's true. I had 2 of them. I had a Chinese wiener. I'm telling you, I didn't even know that Chinese wieners were a thing.
Black Dong.
And they were great.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Cut him up.
He put the USDA stamp on his dong.
Put him in some rice. Sprinkled some green onion on there. A little like sweet Thai chili sauce. Oh my God.
Green onion is way underrated.
Green onion is underrated. I can put green onion on just about anything.
Really?
Oh yeah. It's good on salads. It's good on rice. Mm-hmm. It's good in a lot of stir fries. Yeah. It's like very versatile.
Yes, it is a versatile thing.
Good in dips.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good on Mexican food.
You're asking, hey, what's that little zest? Chances are, green onion.
I'm picking up what you're laying down there.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
It needs more respect, because everyone always goes with the regular onion, which is fine. Although, can I also point out that just a raw bastard onion, get out of here with that crap. You either grill it or get it off my plate. I have no time for raw onion.
Can we talk about grilled onions being one of the greatest foods ever?
Absolutely.
Grilled onions are fantastic.
Right? But think about, like, think about anything that has a grilled onion. Like, you're getting a like a Philly cheesesteak or whatever you're throwing, like a hot dog.
Smash burger.
Now replace that with some cold-ass, boring onion, and instantly you're like, what are we doing here? But the green onion can go both ways. The green onion, more versatile, in my opinion, than the regular onion.
And the green onion, very good raw, because it gives you a little crunch.
Exactly. But that, boy, I'll tell you what, the grilled onion, the smell of that, you walk into a place that's cooking, that's grilling up some onions.
Yeah, my house, it's the best. I walk in and there's onions going on, I know it right away.
Yeah, now you're like, all right, now we're talking.
Now, there's a new wiener phenomenon going on.
I give you two dudes swallowing wieners.
I wonder if you've picked up on it.
And it's not the Chinese wiener that I speak of.
No. We'll get to that in the club next.